song title again?
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick. Checking in, and I'm not going to dig out the bell, and some of you are probably relieved not to hear the bell again. I'm sitting at a rest stop about half an hour south of Morgantown, West Virginia. Sounds good, doesn't it? Joni Mitchell sang a song. One of the key lyrics was, when morning comes to Morgantown. I'm assuming it was this Morgantown she was talking about, or that Morgantown where I stayed last night. I found the perfect boondoggle. And that is a spot you find that you don't have to pay. You just pull over and get all set up and comfy. It was perfect. And it's amazing because you don't know. And I know if... I can backtrack a second here, okay? Last night, I said, I'm not going to podcast on this trip to Florida. I'm just, boom, not going to do it. Like Australia last year, take the year off, take the time off. Not going to do it. This morning, woke up feeling good and just didn't feel that way anymore. So here I am. Sometimes I get a little petulant, you know, if I think I've been, I don't know, put off by something somebody said or didn't say or whatever. Well, I'm not going to talk then. It never works, and of course the person never knows. So, ew! I'm over that. It's dark out. It is not quite 7 a.m. Little light rain. I mean, the hills, up and down these hills of West Virginia. And, it's hard driving. I followed a transport truck because they make a nice frame with all their lights. You know what track to stay on. I mean, the highways are good. I'm on the I-79 South, I think. Or 70 South, 79, I think. Using my iPhone, of course, it's just absolutely wonderful. It took me, the route was interesting. I got to backtrack again. Crossed at Buffalo, I was through in like a minute. A nice young guy, he looked exactly like somebody, a teacher I knew at Centennial College. So maybe that made me feel comfortable. But it was just, you know, yeah, you alone, yeah. Where are you going? How long are you staying? Boom, yeah. Off you go. Bringing any alcohol? Yeah, a bottle of wine, two beer. Okay. It was so nice. It was really so nice. Because I just, the you probably heard from the previous podcast sort of what I was imagining. And I was sure I was going to say, all right, pull up over there and go into the office, you know, for further questioning. And, of course, it was nothing like that. It was beautiful. And so was the time before when I went down to see Jason breeze through. Anyway... The drive took me along a Route 5, like a rural road, following Lake Erie the whole way. It was great. It was a really nice start before getting on the interstate. So, anyway, I'm starting to get tired. You know, it's by 8 o'clock now, and I left home just after 10 a.m. And... I pull into a rest stop and where all the trucks are and talk to the guy inside, the washroom cleaner, real accent. I wish I had the recorder going. And he was saying, you know, technically you're only allowed to stay 2 hours. They can give you a ticket. They can come by and make you move. And he said, we don't do that. You know, and he's just a cleaner. They don't do that. They never do that. And there's a lot of trucks out there. And I said, no, I don't think you'd go out there and tell one of those truckers to move on. And so it was a nice little encounter. But I thought, well, maybe I'll just see what's ahead. And there's a turn off from Morgantown University there. And I thought, okay, university's always in the outskirts, so that'll be good. And turn left towards up a hill towards the city. I can see in the distance with all the motels and everything. Or go right where it looks dark, but I think there's a gas station. And that's where I went. And it had a Tim Hortons, it had a... a pizza place that had a huge, you know, the store and washrooms. It was clean. And then across the street, there was a lawyer's office, beautiful old building with adequate parking, and it said visitor center second floor, obviously during the day, and I guess it was visitors for Morgantown. And I thought, I can't park in the gas station here. They shut down anyway. And the spots aren't big enough for my vehicle. Across the street, it's dark, it's facing some trees in a little valley. There's nobody there. I go into the Tim's, have something, I don't know, a nice bagel for dinner. That was it. I got a Tim card, so I'm not even spending money. I'm using my Tim card. And they open at 5 a.m. for breakfast. I thought, that's perfect. By 5:30, I was in there. Or was it 6? Yeah, anyway. I came back to the van, had a beer, listened to some podcasts, just was comfortable. Made the bed up, and I'm just keeping made up. And it's a wonderful, just to lie down in the back of your vehicle is such a good feeling. And then I bothered to close all the little curtains. They just, the little snap-on curtains, you just pull down on the sides and the back. So any lights from the gas station were just shut out. And then everything shuts down. And then it was just, you know, when I woke maybe at 3 or something, and it was just dead quiet. So it was beautiful. And then I thought, well, then, you know, I get going, get my Tim Hortons, had a farmer's breakfast wrap, which I don't think I would ever order again. I texted Jason and said, you know, after what you wrote, after what I heard on something fries, I was a little put off fast food. Well done, Jason. Thank you. You covered everything that needed to be covered. although, come on, I did not enjoy pissing all over the walls. Anyway, sidetrack again. And I just listened, speaking of Jason, damn, I can't stop speaking of the people I know, but this is because I'm really talking to the community. If, you know, forgive me if you don't listen to Up in This Brain, Jason Reese, but he's Sneege Nerd you could listen to, who's doing the Artist's Way. And I just heard that one. And then when that finished, it was time to pull over to this stop where I will finish off my Tim Hortons coffee and go in and see if it's time for a dump. And then continue on my way. And I'm hoping, okay, this guy's beginning to look a little lighter, because it is a little hard driving in the dark, you know, at high speed on a busy highway. But anyway, there we go, boys and girls. I am talking to you. This business of not knowing where you're going, where you're staying, which can cause some anxiety. You know, sometimes it's easy. Yeah, I'm going to reach this point and I've got a reservation at this hotel. This is sort of the opposite of that. I don't know where the hell I'm going to get to. I just know I'm going to have to stop at some point. But last night's first stop could not have been better. Just amazing. I mean, the idea that, bam, walk across the road and you got your breakfast ready. All right. Scarborough Dude. Signing off.
We're trying to figure out unauthorized disclosures, where they came from. It's very, very hard. Oftentimes, it doesn't come from the people who actually know the secrets. It comes from one pop-out. People who heard about it or were told about it. And that's the reason so much information that purports to be accurate classified information is actually wrong in the media, because the people who heard about it didn't hear about it right. But it is an enormous problem whenever you find information that is actually classified in the media. We don't talk about it because we don't want to confirm it, but I do think it should be investigated aggressively and, if possible, prosecuted, so people take as a lesson this is not okay. This behavior can be deterred, and is deterred by locking some people up who have engaged in criminal activity.
Well, can you say, it was obviously Admiral Rogers was in the room, you were in the room, General Clapper was in the room, and Director Brennan was in the room. Were there any other people in the room that could have leaked that out? I mean, this isn't a report that was circulated among 20 people. This is an unmasking of names where you may have 20 people in the NSA and 100 people in the FBI. It's not putting together a report of all the intelligence agencies. This is four people in a room with the president-elect of the United States. And I don't know who else was in that room. And that was leaked out it seemed within minutes or hours of you handing him that dossier. And it was so confidential, if you read the media reports, that you actually handed it to him separately. So, believe me, I'm not saying it's you. I'm saying it's a small universe of people that would have known about that. And if it is a disclosure of classified information, if you want to start with investigating leaks, to me, that would be one place where you could really start to narrow it down.
And if, again, Mr. King, I can't comment because I do not ever want to confirm a classified conversation with a president or president-elect. I can tell you my general experience. It often turns out there are more people who know about something than you expected at first, both because there may be more people involved in the thing than you realize, not this particular, but in general, and more people have been told about it or heard about it or staff have been briefed on it. And those echoes are, my experience, what most often ends up being shared with reporters.
Well, can you tell us who else was in the room that day? Could you tell us who else was in the room with you that day?
No, I'm not going to confirm that there was such a conversation, because then I might accidentally confirm something that was in the newspaper.
Or could you tell us who was in the room, whether or not there was a conversation?
No, I'm not confirming there was a conversation. In a classified setting, I might be able to share more with you, but I'm not going to confirm any conversations with either President Obama or President Trump, or when President Trump was the president-elect.
Well, not the conversation, or even the fact that you gave it to him. Can you tell us who was in the room for that briefing that you gave?
That you're saying later ended up in the newspaper.
Yes.
So my talking about who was in the room would be a confirmation. It was in the newspaper, it was classified information. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to help people who did something that is unauthorized.
Yeah, well, we all know that the four of you went to Trump Tower for the briefing. And that's not classified, is it?
How do we all know that, though?
You can see the predicament we're in here.
I get it. But we are duty-bound to protect classified information, both in the first when we get it, and then to make sure we don't accidentally jeopardize classified information by what we say about something that appears in the media.
Well, if they're listening, I'm just surprised that Director Clapper and Director Brennan will be asking them the same questions next week, and perhaps they can give us some answers. Chairman, I get back.
Gentleman is back. Mr. LoBiondo is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jack, you ain't getting no bell tonight. Not sure my voice tells it all. I'm tired. I'm lying down. Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Boy, what a long day. I started driving probably around 6 this morning. When I woke up, I went into Timmy's and I had my breakfast special. I guess I talked about that already. I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to make up the miles. I realized, man, oh man, Florida is a long way away. This is a big continent. It's as if I really, you know, really didn't think it through. I just had this idea I had to go. And so today, as I'm driving down these interstates, you know, heading south, I'm beginning to question, well, why are you doing this? And then I keep telling myself, well, there's two very good reasons, and that's the two people I mentioned I was planning to meet up with when I'm down there. That sort of makes it worthwhile, because it sure wasn't for the sightseeing. Because as beautiful as parts of the drive were, you're driving and driving, you know, 100, 110, 120, coasting down these things, continually passing trucks and pulling over and checking your blind spot. And I was okay with it. Like, it never got bad. And I stopped. A highlight of the day was stopping, I guess, probably when I hit South Carolina, the weather started getting better. That's where I am now, by the way, at a place called, just had the name of something, Burl. I tried 3 different places to stop tonight, including Reestville, which was pretty well an abandoned town, except for a few Baptist churches. Anyway, Hillsboro, maybe, or something like that, I don't know. Anyway, it was perfect. There's a big Walmart here, and I'm parked in the Walmart, just like the line of great big, you know, these bus-sized things, towing cars and stuff. People taking advantage of the free parking at Walmart for RVers. My first time, but it already paid off. I'm going to turn in for the night. And oh, man, I don't know if I wake up in the middle of the night and it dump. And, of course, the van is winterized. I can't use the plumbing. It's just full of antifreeze. So off I go into Walmart and do my business. Thank you very much. I didn't have my plastic leg on, so I wasn't up for a long walk, but I was almost in shock at the size. I have never seen a Walmart that big. Like, we're talking acres of store here, and it's just, I can't get my head around it. I don't know how anybody can shop at these suckers. Like, you need a vehicle to get around. In fact, they do have them for handicapped people. Quite a few people just drive their little scooters through. Oh my God, I don't want to be end up there. But no. And I saw all these eye-catching things, you know, this flashlight's the best you'll ever have, and a new TV receiver, and all kinds of stuff, you know, on sale, and I walked past, and no, you're not getting a penny out of me, Walmart. I'll take a dump, thank you very much, and I'll take your free parking, but that's all you get from me. Anyway, sorry, didn't want to go on too much about that, but turned out, also right here, there's IHOP and all the other, you know, chain restaurants. But a place called Fat Jack's. And I went in for a $10 burger with fries. It was really good. They even ask you how you want it cooked. Like, and it had bacon, tomato, onion, and then blue cheese combined with another cheese. It was excellent. I mean, it was a really good burger. And baked potato instead of fries. So I figured that was it. You know, with the tax and tip and everything, $20. Oh, and of course, my God, a local draft beer from Charlottetown. Or Charlotte? Not Charlottetown. What is it? Charlotte. Charlotte, of course. Anyway, I'm still in South Carolina. Tomorrow I'll hit Georgia, and then right after that I'll hit Florida. And that'll leave me only the Northwest Territories, Nunavut, and Newfoundland to get off my list, and about 5 states. And I will have seen everyone. Just 5 left. I took about 4 off the list. Anyway, details, sorry. It's just that I am tired. It's nice to be lying down. Yeah, I was saying the highlight of the day, parked at, a truck stop, visitor center type thing, or this car park, you know, off the side of the interstate. And I parked the van, opened the windows just a little bit, had the shades up, and the sun was beaming in. I lay there for a good hour, and it felt so good. And it was warm weather, like finally. Like today, I mean, I was driving through fog and snow and rain, you know, some nasty conditions, going through this, like, just didn't know how mountainous the Carolinas are. My God. Incredible. You're up and down and quite beautiful and nice drive. But I said the whole way, I said, okay, I'm not coming back the same route. I think I'll try and follow the East Coast on the way back and cross over at Cornwall or somewhere else. Anyway, getting ahead of myself here. I'm not even camping. And it is a thing I want to do. Like, what I really am aiming for is a spot near the water with the camper set up and even the, you know, my deck chair out. Who knows if I'll have a fire. I mean, I'm not prepared for any of that, but I just want to actually stop and have a place. And these past 2 days have just been full on driving days. So that's the part that was questionable. But when it came to, you know, today, where am I going to stop? And this worked out perfectly. Had a really good supper. Had a dump. Got free parking. Like, that's all you need. So I'm feeling good, but I haven't reached the peak yet of really why. I was still questioning the whole drive down. Like, why did you talk yourself into doing this? Like, why was this important? And it's just coincidence that somebody I want to see is down here, and coincidence that the other people from Vancouver are down here at this same time, the same window I had. So that's got to be a sign. Although I thought Reeseville was a sign, and it wasn't. Anyway, I've got all the curtains down.
The lights are off. It's dark enough to sleep well. And I think I'm probably going to shut down there. I don't know what else to tell you. The driving in this thing is fun. You know, it's a beast to drive, but it's got guts. It's an eight-cylinder. It's a V8, 6-liter. So it's a beast. And you need that because it's a fucking heavy machine, too. I haven't got everything fine-tuned, but just bit by bit getting there. Like, I just, you know, I've got a plastic bag right here on the bed, and I put in my glasses, my wallet, keys, all the stuff I'm going to need in the morning in one place without searching for it. And that's a trick of any camping, is finding where do you put stuff. Put it in the same place each time so you don't go searching. It's just a learned trick. Meanwhile, emailing back and forth with Barnacle Bill, looks like he might be my Yellowknife partner if I make that trip. And he and I, as you know from this podcast, there's often a lot of friction between us. And I don't know how. We're going to have to make a lot of ground rules before we head off together just to avoid any, major problems. Because you can't dump a guy out on the highway in the middle of nowhere on the way to Yellowknife. All right, so, that's what you get today. If I had more energy, I'd be telling you more stories. There was what's called the second oldest river in North America, or what they think it is. New River was called, ironically. A place where there was coal mining, and so they had the whole history. It was a visitor center, National Park Visitor Center. And I believe I was still in North Carolina at that point. Yeah. And it was amazing. It was really, really a beautiful spot to see. And it was all fogged in, but just the trees and the fog and this huge gorge and meandering river that you couldn't see, but you knew was there. And then I think the longest single-span bridge in the Western Hemisphere, something like that, which we drove over. So, you know, stuff along the way. I stop what I need to, whatever I feel the need. All I had for meals today, well, I had the Tim Hortons breakfast and then a couple of peanut butter sandwiches. That's just stuff you keep handy. And again, you pull over to these rest stops and you make a sandwich and you feel good. I got one beer left and I'm just too tired to have it. So, that's all she wrote. Scarborough Dude. Signing off.
Asked her phone calls by the Russians. And Comey said no. Everybody on the Democrat side believes that the Russians gave Assange and WikiLeaks everything they had. Again, I want to remind everyone, this isn't the truth of this has not been mentioned yet. It was not hacked. Podesta fell for a phishing scam. Now, you might, on a loose definition, call it a hack, but it's not a hack in the sense that you and I think of hacks. Nobody got into into Podesta's computer. He let them in. He invited them in, unknowingly. Russia did not deal directly with WikiLeaks, Comey said. They had a cutout, which is an intermediary. Well, who was that? But WikiLeaks has insisted that they didn't get anything from Russia, that Russia was not their source, and Comey confirmed that today. I expect later on today somebody will realize Comey said this and they'll mention it, make something of it. But it is astounding to me to watch this, because it's now gotten, when I say out of control, it means the story has gone beyond anybody's ability to control it now, and it has its own inertia, and it has an outcome that has to happen in order to save some political careers. And that outcome is that Trump and Russia colluded. They have built these expectations up so high, and there isn't any evidence, and there never has been any evidence. But I'd like to know who initiated the FBI's investigation of Trump. We've been hearing all along that there is one. Who initiated it?
Today, the University of Georgia pays tribute to human remains unearthed during construction of a campus building in Athens. More than 100 graves could have belonged to slaves. Here's Bradley George of Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Ooh. I guess it's different from CBC News, but
it should have been finished a year ago.
The part I just missed was on the investigation into Russian interference, possibly in the American election, and so on, and all of that business. But anyway, just a correction from last night. The town I'm near, I kept Charleston, South Carolina. And the town I'm staying in, more like a series of strip malls, there's no real town, big box stores and everything, Walterboro, South Carolina. And it's not far from the Georgian border, so I'm going to get into Georgia border, so I'm going to get into Georgia. But the reason I'm talking... Oh, I slept well. I mean, I woke at 5. It was very quiet in the Walmart parking lot, you know? The odd generator in the background, but with all those curtains closed, I had the windows open, which I shouldn't have, because, damn it, it was 3 degrees. It's only up to 4 Celsius now. It was 3 degrees, so it was cold, but, man, I love sleeping in a sleeping bag when it's cold, and you just pull it right up to your neck. And I just seem to generate so much body heat that it feels good. I'm parked in a in front of an IHOP. Sorry. And there goes my waitress. He's taking a break. There's nobody in there. I was one of the... there's only 3 customers, I think. I was the third. Opened at 6. I got in there at 7:30 or so. It's, what, 8:30 now? Yeah. Time for me to be on the road. Boy, late start. Oh, yeah. Flat tire on somebody's car. Anyway... I love the accents down here. I mean, it just, and the sugary sweetness when I ate at Fat Boy Jack's, or it's in the distance, Fat Jack's, I guess, last night, had that amazing burger. It's all honey and you all, and I can't even remember all the words they're saying, but it's just done in such a nice, friendly, innocent way. And I had the same from a waitress today. You know, just friendly. When I asked for HP sauce, that got into, of course, no such thing here, because they were offering me these hot sauces. And we got into a big discussion. And she had lived up north, and I thought, oh, right away, when somebody says up north, I assume Canada. No, that was New Hampshire. She was there for a while. And then I'd mentioned, we got into a conversation when I was checking out about, I was on the trip, and my goal was to see all 50 states. She thought that was amazing. She said, oh, Hawaii, I've never been to Hawaii, but I watched Dog the Bounty Hunter, and, you know, I'm not even going to try to do the accent. I watched Dog the Bounty Hunter, and, oh, my God, I wouldn't go there. And it was just funny. Anyway, bill came to $12.63. I gave you $2.50 tip. Sorry if that's cheap. It was reasonable. But anyway, I added it up, and she said, oh, you know, I said, I hope I did the math right, you know, because I had to add in the tip and write it. There's no machines for this. And she said, oh, you got that wrong. That's the 2 and the 12. That should be 14. And I said, no, but you had a 63 and a 50, and I carried the extra. Oh, my. it was a good, you know, and but it was such a friendly exchange. I said, well, that's okay, because I had a head start on you, you know. I thought about that one, and it was pleasant. I guess that's all I want to say. The Southern hospitality is pleasant and friendly, and I like it. And all the shit, you know, that we're going through because this new Trump's America, as if it changes everybody. It doesn't. You know, and I'm probably, if I had to make a bet, I'd bet she was a Trump supporter, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She's a nice person. Our encounter was pleasant. And the food, oh, my God. What a breakfast. 2 pancakes stacked high with bananas and strawberries and whipped cream and 2 eggs.
Contain a wildfire west of downtown Boulder.
Oh boy!
More than 400 homes are under mandatory evacuation.
I have to put this in because it's, you know, you get CBC all the time. Now you're getting NPR.
They'll be allowed to return home. An additional 800.
Anyway, I'm on my way. I got to get going. This is a late start for me, but that I won't need lunch after that. My my God, was it? And it was good. And then they give you your own carafe of coffee. And it's a beautiful sunny day. Clear sky. So there you go. I just needed to make a couple of corrections. Nice to go in, too. And actually, decent Wi-Fi. Unlike Canadian Wi-Fi, Tim Hortons, where you can't even send emails. Here I was able to actually catch up on all my email and send off things.
By a single poet. Are linked by a common subject.
All right, enough. I gotta go. So, Scarborough Nerd, feeling very good after a good night's sleep and a free stay again. You know, it's worth the cost of these meals. But starting tonight, probably I'll have to start paying if I find a campground, if that's the plan, because I don't think I'm going to be boondocking much in Florida. Except when I visit my friends. If I do, I got to set that all up. So anyway. Meanwhile, I'm exchanging emails with Barnacle Bill and the Barstool Buddha about the trip to Yellowknife. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like the Barstool Buddha is going to be able to make that journey. So it might just be me and Barnacle Bill. And boy, oh boy, we got to sort out some ground rules. All right. Signing out. Yuck, checking in. With mixed feelings. 20 after 4. I got to hang out here on the beach. Yeah, which in itself isn't too bad. Till 5. Then go back, see the ranger, register, and then come back to the beach to boondock for the night. I'm at Anastasia State Park. I picked it out. It's like midway down the coast. Okay, central region. Yeah, that's good because then you can get anywhere. Keep heading south later. Didn't want to start right at the north, you know. And this is after checking in at the Florida, you know, tourism site or welcome site. And they said, oh, take the coast road. Get off the next exit. Take, you know, A1A. Follow the coast. Now, I did, and I'm glad of it. It was incredibly beautiful. I mean, it was lush. The trees, the palm trees, the different architecture. Through a few old places, but you're traveling at 35 miles an hour max. And I could tell it was going to take me a long time. And I'd already picked out a park. This one, St. Augustine. Not realizing, oh, that's probably going to be the busiest one in Florida because it's right near, across the bridge from St. Augustine or St. Augustine, Florida, which I drove through at very slow speed and heavy traffic. But man, what a neat town. There's a fort there. There's everything. There's a history. And I'm, oh, shit. This would be great. Camp here and, you know, go back into town and check it out. Do some of the tourist shit. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Probably not. No. But anyway, it looked cool. It was neat to see a fort. I'm going to read about it later. That's enough. I don't have to go into the fort. I don't have to do the tour on the little trolley buses and so on or the horse wagons. But still, it's cool. But anyway, problem is, yeah, so it's cool. Great park. Booked in advance. The lady, when I came in to check in, just checking in, you got any spots? Oh, no. People book 11 months in advance. Almost a scolding. And I did the poor me. Oh, I've been traveling all day. The border or the visitor center said, should be no problem. Well, you can come and talk to the ranger. Park over there. So I did. And the ranger, as I've just told you, I can stay for the night. I'm still going to have to pay something, which pisses me off. You know, boondocking is supposed to be free. But hey, I'm not up for any more traveling. I got a beer going, a Michelob Amber Bock Dark Ale. It was good. There wasn't much choice. Before coming into the camp, I knew I was getting close, just a few kilometers away. And I thought, well, we're not going to sell beer in the campsite. So stopped at a gas station. Got a six-pack. Didn't get any food. Don't have any food. Well, I got a can of beans and some bread. I'll be fine if I want. Could run the generator, cook up, use a microwave, do whatever I want. Not a problem, not a problem. But it just... Here's the thing. That drive was beautiful, and I felt good. And today was one of those days when I was able to actually let out a couple of... Wait for it, as Anthony Marco says. Yes! And that yes is that it's just an affirmation. I'm doing the right thing. This is right, what it is I'm doing. And in this case, it was driving along, looking at all these bungalows along the beach, you know, on Highway A1A. But I had picked St. Augustine, so, you know, my iPhone's telling me, or Maps telling me, well, you better get on an expressway, because it's still a long way to go. And here I am, okay? Tomorrow, no idea. I see a lot of other RVs just sort of parked here in the beach parking lot. Probably also people who came hoping for a spot for the night. It would have been nice. I was looking for a hookup, but, hey, it's already almost four. It's after four now. The best part of the camping day is done. So we're going to be okay. I'm telling you all this because a couple of things. One is that a voice, not a voice, but my mind tell me, okay, Ken, you're having a good time. You're happy now. You've just gone through Georgia. You got that off the list. You've only got four states left out of the 50 to actually check off your list. You're doing fine. You know, I should be out on the beach right now instead of talking to you, but I'm trying to sort this out. You know, I'll be back on the beach later. I've just got to get this out of my system. So this voice said, you know, something's got to go wrong. It can't all be perfect all the time. Life is not like that. It's never like that, and you should never expect it to be like that. So on this trip, on these 12 days you're going to be away, some things have to go wrong. First one was, well, when you fill up this tank, there's a fault in the tank system with the... I can't explain it. It has been explained on the website. You cannot hold the gas on full and just guzzle, fill it up. You've got to hold it just a little bit going in, because otherwise it just keeps shutting off. Something about the where the tank is placed and gravity and so on. It's a simple explanation, but it's a bad design. So you've got to hold your finger on the trigger and watch the pennies roll by, you know. 103, 104, 105, 106. Well, you're filling a, what did we say, 20-gallon tank or more? $60 worth, $65, $70 worth. You're at that gas. You're holding that lever for a full 10 minutes. That's not fun. But hey, there are worse things that can happen. I can live with that. That's fine. Figured I'd better check a few things. So pulled over to get fill up the tires. Now, filling up the tires, and this is for you, Mark, out in, West Vancouver, Vancouver Island. Thank you for listening. Although, according to Mark, he's still on November. We've just left Bob's funeral. So I don't know when he'll hear this shout-out, but shout-out to Mark. See you and me at the Bob Knob Hobnob. Putting air in the tires should be the easiest thing. I bought my little cheap little one. You know, I should have got a high-tech, fancy digital one, but I got a cheap one's right here. They always seem okay, and then you can actually, there's some buttons online. When your key's in the ignition, you push this and it actually tells you how much air is in the tires. Well, it's great. They're not really down, but still, I figure I should top them up because there's so many warnings about blowouts and stuff. I never seem to get it right. So today's problem was simply they're good enough. Meanwhile, I took off the, you know, the little plastic or little rubber nub that goes over the filler-upper thing and lost it. How the hell did I do that? Like, it's impossible. But I realize I don't have a system for that yet. You should put it in your hand, put it in your pocket, put it somewhere. When you take it off to put the thing on to fill your tire, put it somewhere. I could not believe it. And so that was, to me, the first sign. Hope this is recording. That, okay, here's a little problem. It's a small one. Now, I could go back into the stop, because I had actually stopped at a gas station that sells all the supplies for truckers and everything. They even have showers and laundry rooms. I could have gone there and just bought four new caps. But I didn't think of it till I was on the highway heading out. I figured, okay, I lost one. I'll get them later. No problem. It's not a problem. It was just an indication. Something, you know, hey, things aren't going to go perfectly, buddy. I decided I better open the hood. Check the oil. Check the oil. Come on, while you're at it, buddy. Hey, pretend you know what you're doing. Check the oil. Check the oil, and it's fine. No loss of oil. Now, there's also a button that says, in fact, I'm going to put it in, because I've been worried about this oil change business. Like, oh, man, you know, probably should have done that. Now, there's also a button. Come on, here it is. Oh, shut up. How do I get to it? Oh, I guess maybe I need the engine going to get this. Shit. Okay, that's... I've driven 1,900 kilometers since I left home. Wow. No, more than that. Almost 2,000. Tell me, front tires, left 380, right 400. Okay, so the left is a little low. Left 552, right 564. So the left side is low on both, but not by a whole lot, right? Engine hours, 831. Time zone, calibration, removing key. Oh, come on. Oh, here we are. 50% oil life remaining. 50% oil life remaining. Well, that sounds okay. That sounds like I don't have to panic. It might still be a good idea to get an oil change, but 50% remaining. I guess I don't know how far down you can go on that. You don't want to get to 0%. So, I don't know, you know? I'll call a dealer sometime. I don't really want to do that on my little holiday, but I'll call a dealer and say, hey, I got 50% oil life remaining. What should I do about it? And he'll probably say, well, you can go down to 30, but I don't recommend it. In which case, I'm going to have to get an oil change here in Florida. All right, there's my van stuff. Oh, one more thing. I'm low on washer fluid. You know, there was a lot. I drove through shit coming through North Carolina and so on, Pennsylvania. Love saying the names. Drove through South Carolina, too, and Virginia and West Virginia and Georgia. Did it all. Anyway, going to top up fluid. Oh, I must have some in the back. I mean, I got cans of, you know, windshield washer fluid everywhere. Got to be one in the back. I go to the back, and I pull out a can. Oh, that's it. Great. And I look, and I say, oh, no, that's Dex coolant. That's what Jason gave me back in Tennessee and at his home in the driveway. Fill up. Dex coolant's a little low. He goes into his garage. He's got a ball. He's got a whole fucking jug. Sorry, he doesn't swear. He's got a big jug of the stuff. There's some left over. Isn't that wonderful? I take Jason's, all right, I can't fill up the windshield washer of fluid, but hey, Dex coolant's looking a little low. Thank you, Jason. Topped it up. Threw away the empty can. Or plastic container. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I did what I had to do, okay? So everything's in running order. It's just that I wanted tonight to plug in, to set up a deck chair. Well, I can still set up a deck chair. Yeah, I can still do that. Anyway, things, okay, the drive really was amazing along the coast, along that A1A, for as long as I took it, you know, and then there's turn off for very expensive golf courts and, you know, courses and resorts and stuff, but some also, you know, little bits of history, including this, St. Augustine, an old stone fort, that is so cool. That's all I need to know. I'm going to read about it. I want to read a little more American history. Now that I'm here, bam. That's what I want to do. I want to read a little more American history. Already offered Barstool Buddha. I said, all right, I know you can't make Yellowknife. He's already bowed out. But maybe we could do our Civil War tour sometime, because I feel I owe him a trip. Anyway, that's the update for me. I'm going to finish this beer. It's really good. I'm glad I didn't get a crap beer. I'm going to be all right tonight. I got a can of beans I can heat up. I got a toaster. I got a coffee maker in the morning. I got stuff. I'm good, you know. And today, I haven't eaten since that IHOP breakfast of pancakes, bacon, sausage, and hash brown. Man, that was good. And coffee. That was really a highlight. So yesterday's meals. So I did well yesterday. Today I'm skimping a little bit, but that's fine. I got a six-pack of beer. That'll get me through the night. Boys and girls. I hope there's a few girls listening. I know this probably sounds a bit like a guy show. I probably sound like a bit of a chauvinist asshole, but come on. Give me a break. Scarborough, dude. And you can be sure I'll be back at you tonight. Signing out for now. Bye-bye.
...of the prosecution division about whether or not this warrants an investigation. I know you don't take this lightly. But what we have seen is damning evidence today of what Russia did. We've also seen damning evidence of how they did it. Russia has a history of using active measures, many of which we have heard about today. Let's recap them. We're getting near the end. Hacking and dumping information to damage or embarrass their enemies. We heard about this, of course, with respect to WikiLeaks and Guccifer 2.0. Using third parties and cutouts, business people, oligarchs, and other ostensibly private individuals to cultivate relationships. We've discussed Ambassador Sergei Kislyak, Rosneft CEO Igor Sechin, and of course, Vladimir Putin himself. We've also heard about Russia's use of companies like Gazprom, the Bank of Cyprus, Rosneft, and a confusing web of offshore shell companies used, it was seen, to hide or to launder money. We've also heard how Russia released disinformation to spread rumors and confuse the public, so distrust in the ability to even know truth objectively, using propaganda media outlets, whether directly owned by Russia or not, to release such disinformation in order to claim plausible deniability of Russia's hands. Here again, we see WikiLeaks and Guccifer 2.0, but we also see the use of propaganda outlets like RT. And, of course, the use of U.S. persons of influence, whether through active collusion or coordination or naive acquiescence, we don't yet know the full extent to further Russia's attempts to undermine our elections and ultimately weaken our democracy. On that last point, we've heard about quite a few individuals in the Trump orbit who fell somewhere on that spectrum from mere naivete, disturbing enough.
This is special coverage from NPR News. You're listening to the House Intelligence Committee's hearing into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. election.
Blindness to active coordination. This rogue's galleries includes those already fired. Roger Stone, advisor to Donald Trump. Paul Manafort, advisor to Donald Trump. Michael Flynn, national security advisor to Donald Trump. Carter Page, advisor to Donald Trump.
And this is 89.9 WJCT Jacksonville. Your community, your world.
Rex Tillerson, secretary of state to Donald Trump. Michael Caputo, advisor to Donald Trump. Jeff Sessions, attorney general to Donald Trump. And members of the Trump family itself. This matters. It's serious. Our battleships weren't sunk and our towers didn't collapse a la 2011. Make no mistake, 2016 is a year that we should mark on our calendars. And it's still going on. The attack didn't end on Election Day. And it will continue, as you have suggested, unless we, all of us in this room, stop it. Admiral Rogers, you've proudly worn that uniform your entire career. I am proud of your service and grateful for it. But I would ask you, sir, not even with respect to this specific investigation, to use your own words, as someone who no doubt has been in theater, who's lost brothers and sisters in combat, to explain to me, but more importantly to the American people, don't assume they know the answer. Tell them in your words why we should care about Russia's active measures campaign aimed at destabilizing our democracy and that of our allies. In your words, sir, why should they care?
Check, check, check. Yeah, just maybe a nightcap here. It's only about, God, I don't know, 8:30 or so, or is it 9:30 or, 9 o'clock. And I'm exhausted again. I registered, I had to pay $22.50. I was a little annoyed. That seems a lot just to park in a parking lot. But I moved away from where he recommended parking to a slightly nicer vantage point. There's nobody here. It's dead quiet. Like,
people are far away from me, and that's kind of nice. I can hear the ocean waves from the Atlantic, which is also nice. Right close to where I'm parked, like about three parking spots away, is a washroom that's open all night. And believe me, I've had to use it. And so that's not bad. And this free Wi-Fi. So I really can't complain. You know, I've paid for a three-night stay in traveling. It's cost me $22. That's not a bad average. Now, it'll go up from here on in if I get into any other campgrounds. I don't know what I'm going to be facing. I set my deck chair up, or my captain's chair, sorry, and had drank three of the beer, and boy, that did me in. And I had that, pistachio nuts, and made another peanut butter sandwich, and that was my supper. That's all I needed. That burger was so good last night, and the big breakfast this morning at IHOP. That was more than enough to keep me going. And I am trying to economize where possible. Again, I was impressed. I went on to Google and did look up St. Augustine. And I think the oldest continuously running city in America. Anyway, it's, obviously a Spanish settlement at one point. So that's kind of interesting. And that's why it's one of Florida's biggest tourist attractions, which I should have known about. But hey, that's why you travel. You learn these things. All in all, not a bad situation. I have no idea how tomorrow will turn out, but again, that's the game, isn't it? There's been lots of other things going on that I don't talk about. Just little observations that are interesting on their own. For example, the urinals, different everywhere you go. When I went to the national park, there was a brand new high-tech one that claims not to have used water. I couldn't quite figure out the flushing system, but it was very, very neat, and even neat-looking. And then some that are just so low kid size, which I guess they figure too many people sort of miss altogether, and... anyway, I'm not going to go on about the urinals, but it's just one of those things, you know, you're processing. Everything is new everywhere you go because you just haven't been this way before. And so you're continually taking things in, and some you filter out, and some you shrug your shoulders, and some you try and talk about on a podcast. But I don't really want to talk about that. I guess I just want to say... like I was getting at before, that you can't expect every hour of every day to be perfect. But you want to go in, I call it surfing, you know, you want to just try and ride that wave. You just want to try and stay positive, and there's almost an inner guidance system, and if you don't fight it, you got a much better chance of ending up in a happy place. And when you try for too much control, it's only going to lead to problems, confusion, frustration especially. So you got to sort of let things go. I mean, it doesn't mean be stupid and don't plan anything, and then find out everything was closed because I arrived on a holiday. You know, you got to do some. Anyway, why am I telling you? You probably already know this. I'm just trying to assign some meaning to all this. It is kind of funny that there was a part way down on the trip I really did think, why the hell am I doing this? I guess it was when I was driving through the cold and realized I was probably still in North Carolina and had a hell of a long way to go. And what was the point of this? And tried to convince myself it was to see the friends, but that wasn't just it. I do hope to do that, but it was not. It was something, had I not gone, I would have been sitting in Scarborough thinking, God, I had this window, an opportunity. Why did I go? So anyway, here I am, and I guess that's about enough for me. This is just only meant to be a little nightcap, a little more reflection on the day. And overall,
a very contented man. Thank you for listening. Oh, I was going to mention, this is my third day without showering. I left Saturday morning, had a shower probably at 8 in the morning. It's now 9 o'clock, Monday night. That's, I shower every single day. It's probably why my wife would not enjoy traveling with me, this kind of travel. But, today it was all intentions. Oh, I couldn't wait to get in, have a wonderful shower and shave and the whole works. But the campsite was full, no access to the showers. So it's all right. I'm taking care of the other business. Like, I use restaurant washrooms. I carry my toothbrush and toothpaste with me. I wash my hands and face and eyes. It's all good. It's fine. This is the way you live. You just go. Bye for now.
Daydream, oh, dance of dances, to have ten.